Fewer HVAC companies are truly family-owned these days, but Care still is. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of Care Heating and Cooling. Today, more and more companies are backed by venture capital firms, where profit goals often drive a sales-first culture. At Care, we operate with family values. That means honest recommendations, fair pricing, and technicians who are paid to fix your furnace, not sell you a new one. So for honest, fair service, call Care Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk with Kia.
John Duggan, this day 2 weeks ago, we were looking forward to the beginning of the World Cup. So we're 2 weeks in. What have we learned? What have been the positives? What have been the disappointments?
We've learned that football is bigger than everything else. The game itself, bigger than Trump, bigger than Infantino.
As Kira Kelly predicted this day 2 weeks ago.
Who would have thought that I was the oracle of football?
She knows her football.
Well, it is a blooded World Cup with 48 teams. But that brings its own stories. Curaçao earning a point. Cape Verde, Pico Lopez from Crumlin.
That was one of the best stories of the whole World Cup.
Yeah,
the Tartan Army.
They could even qualify for
the
next
round. Tartan Army.
Michel Kuka Mbolodinga at the DR Congo Games. I don't know if you've seen him in the colourful costume, the suit with the tribute to Patrice Lumumba, the post-Belgian Prime Minister. These kind of stories, which is the thing. The other thing we've learned is how painful it is with every single day that we're not there, because Czechia have been dreadful. They're going home. They lost to South Korea. They lost to Mexico. They could only draw us in Africa. Surely we would have done better than them.
We would definitely have done better than them.
So that is very painful.
Yeah.
I think one of the great things has been the form of the top players. Messi with 5 goals, Vinicius Jr. 4, Haaland with 4, Mbappe with 4, Ronaldo with 2. That bodes well for the tournament. The stadiums look great. Look, I think there's a great cultural blend. And we've been reminded that America is already a mix of different cultures and immigrant communities, which can obviously generate then the support for, like in Bosnia, Kansas City is a big Bosnian area. And therefore, there's already, like as we knew from 1994, there was already people there from different countries, immigrants and second generation. So
it is fantastic the way football has brought all these cultures and countries and people together. It just is.
Always does.
Yeah, I
always
think so.
Always does. And
my favourite stadium, I think it's in Seattle, isn't it? The one with the stand at the behind the goals that is like shaped like a triangle.
Yes.
It's extraordinary looking.
Biggest disappointment for me, the hydration breaks. Look, I think
in air-conditioned stadiums.
But I think there should be a specific trigger of a temperature.
Yeah. When you get
it's fair enough, then you get 27 degrees or whatever, that the players can't play in that. But like hydration breaks when you're in the rain in Boston. Like FIFA say that it's not about money, but it's a cynical exercise for me if it exists beyond this World Cup. The game is over 150 years old. And just suddenly now it's 4 quarters. The game, football is about flow, and it's about as much flow as possible. That's the beauty of football. It's the free-flowing nature of it. Interrupting it with hydration breaks, which are just adverts, 3-minute commercial breaks, is fundamentally changing what football is. And that's a dismal development for me.
Yeah.
What in terms of players that, you know, it's funny when you watch the Premier League, we all know the names in the Premier League, but then the players join the Premier League. But there are 4 teenagers at the World Cup that have interested me. Yeah. And the Moroccan midfielder, Ayoub Bouadi, he's 18.
He looks a player. Yeah. Arsenal linked with him.
The Brazilian winger, Ryan of Bournemouth, who I would have noticed before the World Cup, but he's in his first team. Cote d'Ivoire winger, Yann Diamande, who's been linked with Liverpool. And then the Barcelona, he's already established defender at Barcelona. He's 19 years of age, Pau Gbarsi. So these are the kind of players that we'll be noticing in the next 5 to 10 years, hopefully.
Yeah. The group stage, of course, continues tonight.
Yeah, it does, Kira. 9 o'clock, 2 matches in Group E. Germany, they're guaranteed top spot. They play Ecuador and New York. Or New Jersey, where it really is. Cote d'Ivoire up against Curaçao and Philadelphia. So Ecuador needs something. They've only got a point after 2 games. Midnight then, Group F concludes. Japan facing Sweden and Dallas. The Netherlands up against Tunisia in Kansas City. The Dutch top the table on goals scored. They have 4 points, as do Japan. Sweden around 3. And then for the diehards, the real, you know, you've got some constitution to be doing this at 3 a.m. in the morning, staying up to watch the Group D conclusion. The USA already through. They meet eliminated Turkey in LA. So you're really, really staying up to watch Australia, Paraguay and San Francisco, with Australia just requiring a draw to finish second.
Turkey are out because their goal difference is...
It's head-to-head as well.
Oh, of course. Yeah,
the head-to-head, because they'll be beaten by Australia and by...
Okay, but even in terms of third place, are they definitely...
No, they're out because of the head-to-head. because they've been beaten by both teams that are on three.
Okay. All right.
And there has to be a positive result, if you get me, out of the... result out of the Paraguay-Australia game in the early hours. So say if it's a draw, they both go on to four. If one team beats the other, Turkey still loses the head-to-head.
I hear you.
That's the difference.
Okay.
Before we move on, just from who are the contenders for you now, JD? I mean, England didn't look that great against
Ghana. It didn't, but
Ghana
were very good defensively, so I wouldn't rule England out on the basis of that. I still think France, Spain and Argentina, as the bookmakers would say, are the top three. Argentina probably been more impressive than I thought they would have been.
Yeah, surprising.
What did you think of Brazil last night?
Look, once again, Vinicius Junior is the star of the tournament and they've got a really good manager. But like they've been playing Scotland and Haiti, so I can't really judge. I'd rather judge Brazil in the first half hour against Morocco when they looked shaky enough to me. So against
a
better
team,
that
little 18-year-old ran rings around them in midfield.
Yeah. So in terms of outsiders that could go deep, the Netherlands impressed me the other day because they changed. Brian Brobbey went up front, and Colombia have got a decent enough draw at the moment. I think it depends on the Portugal Colombia game is important for both countries in terms of how their draw looks.
Okay. Joey O'Brien has left Shelburne. I suppose not a huge surprise.
Look, they're looking for a new manager of the club after Joey left after a year in charge. I mean, he's been with them since, late 2021.
He's a good football man, Joey. It's never nice to see a manager leaving a club.
And can leave with his head held high because he was a huge part of the Damien Duff project there. They won the league title. They had no business winning, remember, 2 years ago. It was an incredible achievement. He got them into the Europa... the Conference League group stage, which was another achievement. They're fifth at the moment in the table, so they've made a change. Lorcan Fitzgerald, the under-20s coach, will take temporary charge of the first team.
JD, we should know the draw for the All-Ireland Senior Football semi-finals on Sunday, unless, of course, there's a specific number of results coming in a row.
Yeah. So just a reminder what the lineup is. Cork against Mayo and Kerry up against Tyrone Saturday, then Louth facing Monaghan and Galway meeting Dublin on Sunday. So we can't have Mayo versus Monaghan or Mayo versus Tyrone again because they've recently met. We can't have Cork versus Kerry. We can't have Louth against Dublin. So if Mayo, Monaghan and Tyrone win, Mayo would face either Galway or Dublin with Tyrone to play Monaghan. That's the instance which would not necessitate a draw. Yeah.
Unlikely. I think we'll get those three wins.
But I think if
you might get two of them.
If you think that, a Kerry are odds on.
Can't see Tyrone beating Kerry.
So then Kerry, you're in a semi. Louth, Monaghan, great chance for them. Because say Cork do beat Mayo, Cork can't play Kerry in the semis. So Louth, Monaghan, big chance.
Are we talking Loud potentially in an All-Ireland final?
Or Monaghan?
No, never mind Monaghan.
Let me answer the question again.
Ask you one more time.
Are we talking potentially Loud in an All-Ireland final, John?
Well, with eight teams and still left in the competition, every team is potentially into the All-Ireland final.
Just indulge me here, will you?
I think the answer is yes.
I'll take that as a yes.
I think the answer is yes. Very finally, JD, golf action over in the USA.
Yeah, Lauren Walsh and Leona Maguire, the Irish players in the field for the Women's USPGA Championship, starting today at Hazeltine in Minnesota. So Walsh, 3-over par through 15 holes of her opening round. That's 8 shots behind the current leader, Korea's A-Lim Kim, who's the former US Open champion. Maguire beginning her challenge at 7:20 Irish time. Shane Lowry, who switched caddies this week, he's 1-under through 14 holes, was first round of the Travelers Championship of the PGA Tour. That's in Connecticut. The lead held on 7-under by Eric Cole. But well done to anybody who's up at 3 a.m. tomorrow morning to watch Australia-Paraguay. Well, I won't be one of them.
Madness. I managed half of Scotland, Haiti, that 2 o'clock in the morning. I could not keep my eyes open.
They're on the knife edge whether they'll get through as a third place team at the moment, probably more unlikely 46% than likely.
46% according to Opta Computer.
And you have Norway as a dark horse. Happy with that?
Yeah, they are a dark horse, I think. I can't see them ultimately winning.
It is getting more exciting, though.
Sunday evening, the first knockout game.
Even for the likes of me, I can't help it.
This is when you will be doing 3 a.m.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that, JD.
Okay, guys.
Chat to you tomorrow.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.